As we count down towards the days of Hajj, we begin a new segment, Hajj, the Global Build-Up, where we focus on Hajj stories from distant countries as told by their own media. Joining us on the line this afternoon, Hafiz Ibrahim Musa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Saab.
How are you this afternoon?
Excellent. Shukran jazeelan, Mufti Saab, for connecting this afternoon. And very excited to share so many different angles about the Hajj, inshallah.
Inshallah, we're looking forward to it. Perhaps at the outset, you can share with us the objectives of the segment that we'll be having every afternoon.
Yes, Mufti Saab, Hajj, the global build-up. We always, as people going for Hajj and talking about, you know, this mesmerizing experience of interacting with so many Muslims from all over the world. But sometimes when we cover the Hajj, we, you know, tend to have a limited amount of resources to count on, in that we, you know, rely heavily on the narrative that's shared with us from specifically the Saudi media, which is excellent, and they do an excellent job, being the hosts of the Hajj. But to take a different approach to it, let's look at media houses in different countries around the world who have their journalists embedded with the local Hujjaj, accompanying their Hujjaj for Hajj, and they'd be able to bring to light certain flavors of the Hajj and certain issues of the Hajj related to those countries that perhaps, media houses, global media houses or Arab media houses might not be able to pick out. And that's exactly what we're doing, trying to convey the Hajj from the time people leave from their countries to our listeners. So when people leave from a country in Africa or in Asia, they might have certain send-off rituals or customs. Let's bring those customs to our listeners. They have their own unique stories, like we have in our own country, people who might go for Hajj at a very old age or collected money in a unique way. Those stories are told by the local media, so we want to convey that as well. And sometimes it might also be negative. There might be some controversies that pop up in certain countries, some Hajj corruption from the authorities or travel agents. So we'll try to also convey that flavor, inshallah.
Sounds really good, inshallah, and we're really looking forward to it now. First and foremost, I believe Hujjaj from East Africa have been warned from bringing certain nuts to Mecca.
Yeah, and obviously people will be, craning at the edge of their seats listening to this afternoon. Can we bring our pista and can we bring our cashew nuts? People always like to take, some sort of snack with for Hajj that they'd be able to crunch on while they're traveling, or just give them a taste of home perhaps that they miss while they are out on Hajj. Well, this turns out to be a bit more serious. It's something called the cola nut. And incidentally, when we talk about the cola flavor, Coca-Cola and so forth, it is named partly after the cola nut. So it's a tropical tree that grows in the forests in West Africa. And the fruit or the nut of this particular tree is consumed by the local population, sometimes to suppress hunger. Sometimes it's rich in caffeine, so it also has a bit of a drug effect to it. It's not, totally a drug in the conventional sense, but it can have those sort of effects. And one can compare it to the cat leaf that people chew in Yemen, or the palm leaf or the betel nut that people have in the Indian subcontinent. But this year now, the Saudi authorities have, stepped their foot down and said that this is no longer acceptable, and they've basically classified it just like all other drugs. Previously, they used to allow it in small quantities, but it seems as if from their research, some Hujjaj from this part of the world have been taking advantage of it, and therefore they've stamped their foot down to say no cola nuts whatsoever to be allowed. If they are so the local authorities in the West African nations have been trying to do searches on bags before they actually depart to the Holy Lands, and once they go to the Holy Lands, I believe there have been certain confiscations that have also taken place. It's quite serious, because the penalty for drug dealing in Saudi Arabia is the death penalty. So the authorities trying to prevent it even before the judge proceed to the Holy Lands. But if they proceed to the Holy Lands, either confiscation will take place or some more serious measures will take place. So a very serious one that the authorities are taking quite seriously even before the Hujjaj depart.
Now, this afternoon we're focusing on the African aspect. And another story, currency exchange, special Nigerian government concessions for Hujjaj draws criticism. Tell us more on that one.
Yeah, this is, you know, something also that we'd be able to relate to. I mean, we see our South African currency dipping and dipping against the dollar, or perhaps it's stabilized a bit at the moment. But, you know, the exchange rate between the rand and the dollar is not what it was. The rand and the rial is not what it was, definitely. Now, Nigeria also facing economic meltdown, not getting too much revenue from oil over the recent months. What this has resulted is obviously a devaluation of the currency. It's standing at around, last week it hit all-time low, 350 naira against the dollar. And on the black market it's being traded as up to 400 naira against the dollar. But the Nigerian government made this decision a few months ago, and they're sticking to this decision, whereby people who go for Hajj will get a special rate. And even though its standing market rate at the moment is 280 and it's fluctuating mostly upwards, they're going to give it to the Hujjaj at about 197 naira to the dollar. And it's obviously a boon for the Hujjaj, but the economists are not happy with this, saying that a lot of this money could be spent in infrastructure. The government is, you know, facing a deluge of economic problems, and giving 80,000 Hujjaj this concession is going to affect the economy a lot. But the government is sticking their guns to this, and obviously they can score political dividends if they make gestures like these to the Hujjaj. And incidentally, it's not only gestures like these that they make to the Muslim Hujjaj, but Christian pilgrims also go on pilgrimages to Europe or to Jerusalem, wherever it may be. They've also been given special concession rates to the dollar. So that's how it's looking at the moment. We find from Nigeria this year, numbers of Hujjaj have dropped. And from the Hujjaj side, they're welcoming this because any bit of saving that they can make in the current exchange market is welcome. They obviously, you know, will welcome this and also congratulate the government for this move.
Yes, I suppose the Hujjaj will definitely welcome that, considering the very, very tough economic times that we are passing through at this present moment. Jazakumullah khair for your time this afternoon, and we look forward to the next segment tomorrow afternoon, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Hajj, the global build-up this afternoon with Hafiz Ibrahim Musa, and focusing on African Hajj stories, a very interesting one, the one with regards to the nuts as well as the currency exchange. Those are the stories that you won't necessarily be finding in some of the mainstream media outlets, giving us a perspective of Hajj from the countries where the Hujjaj are coming from, the distant lands, bringing us on to 29 minutes past 5.